Today's message will be what's called a topical message, and we're dealing with a topic, and a topical message means you move around. And often you'll see me take a passage and we'll exegete that passage, taking it verse by verse, but this is what the Lord gives. And there's two types of messages you'll generally hear, and those are topical and exegetical. And exegetical means you're taking it word by word or verse by verse and teaching it. And topical, you have a topic and you have to move around to fill out that topic. And so the title of this is Principles We Must Understand. And these are things we've got to know. These are absolutes. These are things that we have to understand about God. And you can't get messed up on this. And be sure that you grasp it. There's other things, but I've got four today that it's just like these are four priceless things, and you can't miss this. It's important for every Christian to grasp, and I'm so concerned that Christians aren't grasping this stuff anymore. And not you, but just in the Christian community, you talk to people and they just don't seem to... You know what people talk about more these days than anything? And it just concerns me highly. They'll tell you how great the music program is, or how exciting the events are, and it's like, well, what did you learn? What was the message on? I don't know. It was something on not to get mad or something. It's like, where was it from? And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to find it, and I don't hear that. And it's like the entertainment, in other words. And it really bothers me, and it bothers God, because the Christian community is not learning. And I have people, and you know, I get engaged in discussion, and I have to with what the work I do, and they're revealing their lives and everything, and they're confused on their ethics and their morals, and what the Bible says, and many of them will say, "I'm going to vote for so and so," and it's like, you do realize that they stand to, that they're anti-God, don't you? They're Antichrist. Well, here's a common one I get. Well, that there's a separation of church and state. Excuse me? Are you telling me that what he says in here only stays in the church? Thought he said go into all the world and make disciples. And our government, if it gets any further away from this, it'll collapse. It will. You look at all the great nations of the world in the history, and Rome is one of them that we seem to be paralleling a lot. And they didn't last when they became corrupt from inside. And so it's like, do you know, you've got to live what the Bible says. You can't just talk about it. And it's not confined to church. My whole thrust here is, God, give me a word for you to go out and have this to live by. And to try to change your world. So let's look at these four principles that we've got to have. These are absolutes. I could have put four absolutes, but I've titled some other messages that way with some absolutes, and that sounds like... But things we've got to understand. First, some of these may sound a little simple, then we get into them, it's like, First of all, God is the God of peace. He's not a God of confusion. Over in Corinthians, it talks about him, you know, if you want to need a reference in Corinthians 14, he says God is a God of, you know, God is not the author of confusion. He's a God of peace. And in Thessalonians over here, you can look and read this. It says, now may God himself, the God of peace, and you'll have that up there. Say, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what is he talking about here? And he said, it's this. Listen to me. It says, may the God of peace sanctify you. And the word sanctify means set apart for him. So when you hear that word sanctification, it means we're set apart through the blood of Jesus, through Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. We're set apart unto God. And that set apart from what? The world. It's desires. It's attitudes, it's morality or lack of, it's ethics. We're set apart to be people of the Word, people of Christ. And so we can't live like the world. We're not to be conformed to the world, and we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's what Romans 12 says, so that we can know God's will. And we can do it, His perfect, acceptable will. And so if God is the God of peace and He's not the author of confusion, then how, you know, my big question, and I pose this to you, is if you were some of these many that come and want to talk, counsel or whatever, and it's like, okay, if God is the God of peace, why are you so confused? And if you're confused in your life, in God's will for you, if you're confused about Scripture, if you're confused about relationships, marriage, whatever, if there's confusion, I just don't know, I don't understand, I hear this all the time, I'm so confused, and God is not the author of it, then who is? And so we get down, yeah, and over here pointing down, that's right. If God is not the author of confusion, but He's the God of peace, and you don't have peace and you have confusion, frustration, and you're just gnarly all inside, that's not from God. It's from the enemy in your own flesh tied together, and He's using that against you. And He's causing you not to receive the best God has for you. And so the point here is, if you have confusion in your life, that needs to be put to God. And you need to understand, what in the Word of God am I missing? Because God is not the one making me confused. God hates confusion. He doesn't want disorganization. He doesn't want your life disorderly. He does not want you staying awake at night worrying about everything. He's God. He can take care of it. So when we have this confusion in our heart, the enemy, the world, our own flesh is involved. And you say, what do I do? I take that to God and say, where is it that I'm not letting you in my life? Where am I missing your word? Where is it that I'm just stubbornly or maybe just totally just not meaning to, just in using the word in a very loose term, but where am I ignorantly missing it, where I don't get it? I've had to tell God many a time, God, I'm just ignorant with this. It's like, you know, I've preached this, there's some things I preached for years, and then suddenly it's like, I think I'm just ignorant about all this. Let me give you one thing. I'll give you a principle that's not in here. This is a freebie. But the more you learn about God, the less you know about Him. The more I learn about Scripture, the less I find out that I really know. You can go to seminary all those years. I did all that, and you get all the training and blah, 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 blah. And then you study, and then you'll open it up and start reading it, and it's like, well, how come I haven't seen that in the last 60 years? Or 20 years or 30 years, however long you've been on this earth or been a Christian. Why didn't I? How many times have you read it, preached it, taught it? And there it is, and it just jumps off the page. That's the way it is with God. People that think they write, you know, there's tons of books out there people write, and they've got it. They have found the answer. They have got the theology. They understand it. You know, I look at that, and I'll read it, and there's some good stuff in there. It's like, hey, this will change next year. Because you just scratch the surface with God's word. It's deep. And so when you have confusion in your heart, that's the time to be still before the Lord and say, you know what? The enemy is in my life. I didn't invite him here, but he's here. And I don't want him here. And I rebuke him in Jesus' name. And I want to know, God, where is it? What's in my life that's a little loose that needs to be tightened down? Because there's confusion. Am I taking... For instance, you say, okay, now where are you, how do you know? One of the big things we do, we all do this, I do this. We overstep our boundaries and we try to take God's place in fixing other people. Or fixing certain things in life that only God can fix. And when you step into God's arena, and you're not meaning to, you're trying to be helpful, but you're out of your bounds instead of praying and being there to do whatever God wants you to do, and we start trying to take care of it ourselves. And if the confusion comes and the people are not reacting right and they're doing this and doing that, maybe you've gone too far into His turf. You with me? We're to be prayers and intercessory people, but we're not to take His place. And I have to watch it, especially in the counseling field. You got to be, I would say to any counselor, be careful. Don't start speaking for God. You're here to help this person relate to God and let God fix them, not you. Not me, and I haven't met a counselor yet that can fix anybody. We like to think we can. And we like to take credit for what God's doing. But we're to open up a person's heart and mind to Jesus Christ, to His Word, to His healing ministry, His healing power, and let Him do it. There's folks get a lot of money per hour for doing nothing and not helping. And then there's some who really open people up to the Word of God. So if there's confusion in your life, if there's frustration, that's when you need to stop, look, and listen, and find out what's God saying through this. There should not be confusion. The enemy's in here some way. Maybe it's something you're watching, reading. Could be the people you're listening to. Maybe there's a certain radio station or something on Facebook or whatever that you're into that maybe it's confusing you. If you're watching something, listening to something, and suddenly your mind gets agitated, you're just restless. You're not at ease. You're not peace. You better pay attention to whatever happened right there. If any whatever is getting between you and God and putting obstructive, very destructive thoughts in your mind, get it out. And I know this sounds like, man, you're hitting this kind of hard, because the world is hitting people hard. The enemy's coming at God's people. And God wants you protected. And He wants you to know the truth that sets you free. And you got to stay in the Word to get that truth. That word peace, and I hit this ever so often on what peace means, but literally in the Greek, it means a ceasing of war, a ceasing of conflict. So when God is a God of peace, He's not a God of conflict. He's not a God of war in your life. God wants you comfortable with Him. Listen to me. The psalmist put this right. He said, though 10,000 are fallen at my side, nothing will touch me. No harm will come to me. I will not be affected by it. He said, even if there's war raging around me, there doesn't have to be war in my heart. You can be in the midst of chaos and have complete peace in your heart. You know how? You don't judge by the chaos. You follow me? Don't judge by circumstances. You look at God and say, God says, if 10,000 are falling around me, nothing will touch me. And you claim His Word. And you have that peace. Doesn't matter. You know, if any of you are into watching too much CNN and all that, Lord, back off of that. I mean, literally, for God's sake, back off of it. I've never seen such crud coming out of there. And if you're trying to figure out the House of Representatives right now, you're going to be in confusion. Seriously. This has going on 4 years, what, 3 years now, and it's like, enough. Enough. I don't get up here and try to tell you who to vote for. No, I just speak when it comes, and it's just out there. They keep saying, the country, our country's in ruin, and I'm looking at Speaker of the House, and goes, the country's in ruin, and ruin, and I think, your head's in ruin. I believe you've gone over the edge. You need counseling. I'm serious. I don't care who it is, which party it is, but in case, it's like, for crying out loud. And then I'm looking out and people are saying, hey, I'm drawing more interest than I've drawn in years. And my retirement fund's better than it's been in a long time. And we're getting jobs and we're getting this and that. And I'm saying, I'm not for sure it's all in ruins, folks. I think just the Speaker of the House is in ruins. And please don't send her to me for counseling. There's about 37 demons to cast out before I could get into anything. I don't want to go there. Anyway, no, please don't take that. I'm not trying to play the field. I don't want to offend anybody with your politics. It's simply this. If you put too much of all that in your head, where is there room for thoughts of God? If you're watching something that gets you so angry, I was watching this stupid movie, and I don't know. I can't even tell you all the what happened. But it's a movie, right? It's acting. But it was on an issue that I have a particular interest in. And this guy stepped over the line and he betrayed another guy. And I'm really big on that, on loyalty and not betraying somebody that's supposed to be. He betrayed someone that was trusting him. And all of a sudden I slammed my fist and I went there, you know, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, they just need to bust him right between the eyes. And then really, I'm sitting there just, oh man. And then it's like, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's like, are you serious? You know, I can feel it. And I sense it. Are you serious? It's acting. Just touched somewhere and got you all riled up, didn't it? And it was like, yeah, it sure did. You know, sometimes that's how God and I talk. It sure did. And then, you know how God can zing you, right? I wish you'd get that riled up in defense of me. That's how he does me. Seriously. And that came right to me. How come you don't defend me like that? They're doing that to me all the time. They're sticking me in the back and they're denying me. They're doing all kinds of things to my name. And how come it's not getting you all riled and righteous and dignity like you are here? Over a show. And he'll get you, won't he? And he's not being mean, it's the truth. Boy, we'll get so upset over something out here, but what about his honor? And it's like, Tony, you put that energy into defending him. That's what you're called to do. You don't have to defend God, but you're here as his representative and somebody's attacking him. You're not going to just stand there and laugh, are you? Why don't you feel the same way you do about that movie that it's just a bunch of script they're following? Amazing. So he hit me pretty hard with this, and he said, you know, I am the God of peace, and if you're being conflicted, then find out why. And take it to me and get peace in your heart, and God wants every one of you, and by the way, his word to you this morning is, each one of you, before you leave this place, if you didn't walk in here with peace in your heart, you can have it now because he loves you, and he is in control, and no matter what you see or don't see on the TV or the, you know, your internet or your Facebook or whatever it is you're doing, whatever, no matter what the circumstances, Satan does not own this earth. He did not create it. He did not create you. He's not in charge of you. He's not in charge of this earth. He lies, and he wants you to think he is, but he is going straight to hell in his day, and he's going to burn for eternity, and don't you forget that, and you have Jesus' power and promises in your life over him, and nothing's going to defeat you. So you get that peace in your heart and you say those very words to him when, you know, he is not what he makes himself out to be. He's just like the people in the movies following a script to get you all riled up. That's all he has. He has nothing else. You have God, and what does 1 John tell you? Greater is Jesus in you than he that's in the world. So get that peace. There, you know, there's that. It, that peace is. It is. It when it's God's will. I want to need to move on from this, but I want to hit you with it. Just this one point. When something is God's will, there's a knowing in your heart that it's God's will. Are you with me? There's a knowing. There's been things in my life that I concocted. Has anybody done any concocting? Conjuring. You said something was God's will when you knew deep down that there was a knowing that it wasn't, but you made it out to be. You can want something so bad that it becomes God's will. Isn't that amazing? You just desire it so much, and you find, and you will even find signs to confirm it. Okay, I see a few of you have done that. Okay, so. And yeah, I have too. And I mean, and suddenly, there's signs just falling from trees. Everywhere you look, there's signs. If you want a sign to buy a new vehicle, just start looking for those signs. And you'll see that vehicle everywhere you go, where you've never seen it before. You ever notice that? Or you want this or that or whatever it is, and suddenly, maybe there's a new coat, a new fashion, new style, And it just hits you all of a sudden, and you just really want that. You see it everywhere. It's a sign. And you'll get something, you know, and one of those little pop-ups, or there may be something in the mail, and there's a sale on that very thing. so much off. If you just order today. And if you'll order right now for only $19.99, we'll throw one in free, only pay the shipping and handling. And it's like, I got to have that. But there's a knowing in your heart, this is not God's will, even though I'm trying to make it God's will. I've had many a person who sat down, and when we really got in their life, they've had a divorce, they've had a bad marriage, whatever it is, and they said, I just thought it was God's will. And it's like, and you're gentle with this, but it's like, did you really? I did. I you know, and you just kind of let them talk in it. You really in here, you had a knowing it was God's will. Well, and then when they do that, it's like, you had that, You know what that's called? A check in your spirit, and you overrode it. You had a check in your spirit, and you overrode it. Anybody in this room done that? Oh my Lord, yes, all of it. And you override it, and you bring in all this emotional, circumstantial stuff, and you create a case for God's will. God's will is just simply, is there a peace and knowing in your heart, or is there not? And we have to listen to that still small voice so we can stay in His will, not judge by outward circumstances. Secondly, first of all, God is a God of peace. Secondly, though, this was one Lord gave me, and this one really had a clap to it, okay? The first one's pretty deep. This one here had a smack to it. And it's like, it's like, how do you get these? These are impressions that come to my mind. Do I hear God audibly? Sometimes, I can hear it in my heart, and I just write it as fast as I can write. And other times, it's impressions more than anything else. But this one was pretty real clear. And I knew God just really concerned him. God doesn't like this. God doesn't like the one I'm going to give you now, and it's really serious to him. And God is not mocked. He put in my heart, I'm not mocked. I'm not going to be mocked. And those folks out there, and you see them interviewed, and you see people, I'm not just talking about politicians, they're just actors and actresses, and they're mocking God. If they mock God's people, they're mocking God. Jesus said, if you do it to the least of these, all any of you, you're doing it to me. And they're mocking. I mean, in Galatians 6:7, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man, person, reaps what he sows, and it goes on like that. And Jesus, it says, if you sow to the flesh, I'm just paraphrasing the rest of it for the sake of time. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap from the flesh. If you sow to the spirit, you'll reap eternal life, is what it says. Jesus made a little comment that kind of ties into this, and he said, your heart is where your treasure is. And your heart's where your treasure is. And God is just not going to be mocked. And you sow to the flesh, you reap the flesh. You sow to the spirit, you reap eternal life. That word mock, I do a little research on it. I want to make sure about this. But let me give you, it's pretty close to the way our English translation would be. But in the Greek, the word he used here, the Greek word, means literally to sneer, turn up the nose, or laugh at. And so the word that was being used here, God is not sneered at, having the nose turned up in pride, or that we're smarter or better than him, and God is not laughed at. It means all three. And so you put together, and God's saying, the people that turn their nose up to me and think they know more than me, deny me. And we use that expression today, right? Well, their nose is stuck up so far in the air, if it rains, they'll drown. You've ever used that one, right? And so that's where that comes from. And it's a person, you've been around people, right? They were snooty. And you could tell, almost literally, right? And they, just the aroma of you being around them, they couldn't, you know. And then they're going to move into their own class. You've been around that kind of folks. And you've been around people, and you see this on TV a lot, and then you see it in movies, you see it in politics, where they're mocking, they're laughing at God, and they're laughing at Christians. Don't you get tired? It's in the movies, nearly always, if there's a Christian involved, or a minister, or a priest, they get killed. I was just watching a movie here a while back, and the minister was a good guy. Boy, he was tough. He was out there, and he's the first one killed. It's like, you always kill them off, don't you? you always kill them off. And you got to get rid of the Christians and the ones who represent God, and you laugh at them, you mock. But God's not mocked. And so let me share this with you. And this is what he put on my heart to say here today. The people who laugh at God or turn their nose up at him or sneer at him, the people who disregard him and just ride right over the top of him, he's saying, if you do that, you're sowing to that. You're putting that seed in the ground and it's going to come back. And every person that sneers or laughs at God is going to be sneered and laughed at. They're going to be put down and they're going to be run over. It's going to happen to them. And when they laugh at God, they are going to become the laughing stock sooner or later, because they will become so foolish and so stupid acting. God won't let them have wisdom, and God won't let them succeed. It only appears that they're succeeding. I promise you, God is not mocked. And so when someone attacks you, they're making fun of you as a Christian, they're after you or talking about your church, whatever it is, they're making fun on TV, whatever it may be, or some politicians in there just, you know, we church and state, you know, the church needs to stay out. I'll tell you right now, God is not mocked. And the more they want God out, the more God will come in. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's right. The more you try to bulldoze God out, you'll find out God has the heaviest equipment you've ever seen. And you're trying to push him out with a bulldozer, then here comes one of those earth movers. And from God. It's the truth. And the harder they squeeze, guess what happens with God? The more he just squirts out everywhere. you try to choke God down, he's coming out 20 fingers. You can't stop God, because God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And friends, let me tell you something. They are laughing at your God today, but they're going to be laughed at tomorrow. Those that are mocking God, look at them. Look at the millions are looking at these people, and what are they thinking? Oh, they've got their supporters. The devil has his. But more people are looking at them saying, how stupid. And what? They're being mocked. Because they mock. Friend, you just keep right on with Jesus Christ. And you know, you don't have to get into it with people. Just stay in fellowship with God your Father. Stay in fellowship. Because it's going to come right back at them. And what do? Soul to the Spirit. Just keep. You don't have to love sin. I don't love the things I see in movies. I don't love the things that politicians are saying. Or people, just we're out there close around. There's a few out there that just once in a while, it's like, did you just have to say that? They'll just say something. They know what I do and everything. And there's a few around. And they like to get me within their distance, or I'll be eating up in town or whatever. And if they're there. And then some comment. And it's like, they did that. They knew I'd hear it. You know, isn't it amazing how you'd be whispering at a table, but you whisper loud enough for the person three tables over to hear it? You know, well, I think pastors, and there's one thing you can count on pastors, you know, and they make some comment. And, you know, and you're thinking, they want me to say something. And here's the thing. If you say something, you look bad. Because they'll swear that you were eavesdropping, right? But if you sit there and go right on, one of the best ways to annoy the daylights out of your enemies is to give them no response. Nothing. Nothing. They don't get anything out of you. And I try to live that way. Now, I may go home and I'll have a response, but not in front of them. Okay? Because I'm not going, if they want to mock, and here's what, all so often God brings into my heart, and he'll do it for you. He does it for you. If you do it to the least of these, you're doing it to me also. I will not be mocked. I'll take care of this. You just keep on eating your little salad. You just keep doing what you do. I'll take care of this. And inevitably I hear, ooh, they had a bad deal. Oh, that person's in jail? Wow. I just got off a grand jury. I was on it 6 months. I got to see those mockers, and I'm sitting on the grand jury. Hi, come on in. So you don't like pastors? Let's hear your case. And you say, oh, were you really that way? Not as bad as I, well, yeah. Yeah, 6 months meeting and looking at cases and case after case after case and learning about the real inner workings of a community and the surrounding area. And it was amazing. There's people, oh, that person doesn't like, really seriously, they don't like pastors. Well. Let me ask a few questions, take a few notes here. I'm the question asker, and I'll ask a question, and then you don't go on a grand jury with me. It's because I want to stumble them up, and I want to see. You're going to answer me later away if I ask it different. And you said that you at this time you did this, but over here you said you were in the next county. So which was it? And it's like, Tony, you enjoying yourself? Yep. Yep. It's amazing how God works that out, isn't it? You'll find yourself, listen, and of course I didn't, and I'm not going to do anything from, I'll try, not out of ever personal vindictiveness, but it's just what I'm telling you is, it's amazing, just like that, how people putting you down and then one day you're on a grand jury. You see what I'm saying? And do you know God's going to do that for every one of you in one way or another? Your enemy right now, whoever it is, antagonizes you. You may feel like they've got the upper hand. And then just like that, you are going to be on, what does the scripture tell you? You're going to be on the top and not the bottom, and you're going to be the head and not the tail. And that is scriptural. And you trust God for that. He is not mocked. You just sow to the Spirit, stay in the Spirit, keep the love, let the Spirit keep love for God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength in your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can hate the sin, just keep loving people, and God will put you on top, and before you know it, one day, in one way or another, you're on that grand jury. God's people are going to come out on top. And then you'll be sitting there going, isn't it amazing how God just turns it around for His people? Let me give this third one. You'll like this one. God is your shepherd. God is your shepherd. He put this on my heart. It's like, we know that. It's like, say it anyway. Sometimes, yes. Do you argue? It's like, do you argue with God? And I don't argue, but I'll ask. I was like, they know that. That's a cop. Okay. You know, it won't give you peace anywhere else. I've gone and tried to look up other messages and things. It's like, I don't think I'm getting this. I mean, and then here he comes back. And it's like, you're not leaving this. This is what I want. So God is your shepherd. In Psalms 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. But we quote that, right? But I shall not want is a part with that. Because he's my shepherd, I will not be wanting. Now, here's what he gave me on this. Here's this word and these principles that we must understand. God is your shepherd, but it doesn't happen automatically. If you're a little sheep that keeps poking your head through the fence and finding a way to get in the other pasture, you know, you're not getting the blessings God wants you to have, so stop it. Stop it. Why do you keep trying to crawl through the fence? And we've all done it, haven't we? We just don't want to stay right there. We want to go on our own little way. And when a sheep gets out there and cuts off from everything else, from the rest of the flock, the shepherd has to come lead that flock, go in to lead the 99 and go after the one that's lost. That Jesus used that illustration. But in the meantime, guess what's looking for that little sheep? Every predator in the country. And that's what the devil wants you to do, is get it in your head, like Adam and Eve in the garden, that forbidden fruit, is, well, you got to have it. Have you ever noticed that when you taste a forbidden fruit, it's not near as sweet as you thought it was? It's sour. Or it sours real quick. And it doesn't digest well. And if I was speaking to teenagers today, they wouldn't listen, but I'd speak to them anyway. It's like that forbidden fruit that you want so much right now is going to be really sour and give you indigestion. You won't like it. It'll just sit there and ferment. And so, you know, if God, if you're just feel like you're just not where you need to be with God, my I want to say to you, quit sticking your head through the holes in the fence and just follow your shepherd. Even if you're not real impressed with the terrain. You with me? There's times I have to do what I'm doing and I'm not real impressed with where I'm at and things that happen. Weird stuff happens in this work. You're not immune from anything, and just stuff happens that I really do, honestly. There's times that I get to my house, I lock that gate, and I swear I'm never going to drive back out again. It's like I'm not going to counsel another person. I don't want to hear what I just heard. Or I don't want to have said to me what was just said to me. And I do. And I get out there and it's like, God, I can't do this anymore. And I've said that many times over the years. I can't do this. I can't hear this stuff. I have to look at these people. I don't want to know that they got involved in this kind of perversion. And nobody around here knows it. I mean, everybody just lifts them up. They think they're so great. And God, to find out there's perversion like this or there's this stuff going on. And then you're trying to take it to God, and you have this thing when people share with you a confidentiality, you hold it. And so the only person I can share it with is the one who heard it with me, and that's God. And sometimes, you know, you're just like, I just wish I had a person here that, I just wish I had a guy that, that was there that could say, well, man, I couldn't believe you. But God, you have to do that. And we all have to do that. Listen to me, friends. There's just times he's all you got. And I'll get out there and I think, no more. I'm not going to do this again. And you know what he does? Listen to me. He does this with all of us. He just sits there so quietly like a good friend. And you can just sense his spirit enveloping you. And it's like, I'm not doing it again. And I can just hear. God said, yeah, I know. It's okay. I'm not going back. It's okay. And he lets you work it out till finally, okay, I'll go back. And then there's that peace. You know what? God is the greatest counselor. He's the greatest listener. He doesn't get offended. And I've even told him at times, there's been some times when bad stuff's happened, I'm mad at you. I'm really hurt at you. When my dad died, stripped my life away, the only life I'd known for 22 years, lost it all, everything, had to move, everything was gone. I'm mad at you. You know how he responded? I know. And I stayed that way a while, and then one day he spoke through a friend. Best friend I'd had at the time, and he told me, you're angry. It's time to let it go, and it's time to let your dad go be with God. Don't you think? And I heard God's voice through that. We were sitting around a little campfire about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just had my head hanging down. And I looked at him and said, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Let's deal with it right here. And we did. And God will let you go through your struggles and your pains because he's your good shepherd. And you'll stick your head through the fence and you'll go running off at times. And he'll go get you. And he'll bring you back. There's just going to come a time when he's going to confront you like that around your little campfire, whatever that is for you. And he's going to say, why don't you just let this go? Why don't you just follow me now? After I yielded to that, and I've shared this in the past, but many of you are new here. After I yielded to that, it wasn't that much later that God put in my heart, Tony, I took your dad so I could be your dad. I have a calling for you, and I need to be your father. And you need to be my son. And I want you to let me, he did, he put that in my heart. I want you to let me be your father. You were so loyal to your dad, you loved him so much. Now I want you to put that into me, because I'm going to take you through life. He's with me, now I'm going to be with you. Now that's the good shepherd, and he's that kind of shepherd to all of you. If you just let him and get rid of the stuff and turn loose of the anger, let go of whatever's in your past, whatever's trashed your life, whatever you've done, they've done, no, you didn't know who did it, but it happened. There's a place to let it go and get in fellowship with God. Get under his covering in the shelter, as it says, the shadow of his wings, and receive the blessings of protection and guidance. Fellowship, closeness, intimacy, peace. And then a close. Gotta close. Well, yeah, I gotta close. This last point ties in with this other one, but God/Jesus. It's hard to separate them, some of these things, is your high priest. And so having said that he's a God of peace and he is not mocked and he is your shepherd, he's your high priest. God in Jesus, it's hard to differentiate, isn't it? But what does that mean? And that he's my high priest. Well, here in Hebrews 4, therefore, since we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We do not have a high priest. Listen to this. Get this. I'm going to just wrap with this. We do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Remember that? Our high priest, unlike the high priest of the Old Testament who once a year went in and atoned for the sins of the people, they really didn't identify because they were there in the temple all the time. Jesus walked the earth and he was out here with us. And it says, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted. Look at this. Tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. If you don't know this passage, mark this one down. And when you mess up and when you're struggling in life, go to this and say, oh, I have a great high priest who suffered like I suffer. Listen to me. Jesus knows what it's like to have someone that you highly trust to stab you in the back. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be sold out. He knows what it's like to have a dear friend die. He had a dear friend named Lazarus. We brought him back to life. But he knows, that's where we get the little shortest verse in the New Testament. Jesus wept. He knows what it's like. And we forget that John the Baptist, Jesus valued John the Baptist and he lost him. They beheaded him. He lost good people that he cared about. Friends, listen to me. He knows what it's like to love and to lose and to be hated and to be rejected and despised and stomped on and ridiculed and everything that happens. He knows what it's like to be tempted with all the carnal sins out here. You know people threw stuff at him. And no, he didn't sin because he's fully God, but he's been there. He knows what it's like. And because he's been there, he's now seated at God's right hand as your high priest. And he represents God to you and me, but he represents us to God. And when we really drop the ball and blow it big time, Jesus is our intercessor saying, they are mine. I take their guilt, their suffering, their condemnation on me. I put it on the cross. Father, they are not guilty. That's the truth. It comes with our confession, our repentance, our getting it out and being right with him. But Jesus is our high priest who has suffered, been tempted, and he's always representing us to God. And Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus, our high priest, has done it for us and taken it all on himself. And he's alive and living and interceding for you. And he's your God of peace. And he's not mocked. He's your great shepherd. And he's your high priest. and you get up and leave this place today and go out there, no matter what you hear, see, or do, get involved in, or if you just flat drop the ball, I send God a blue it, whatever it is. Remember, He's on His throne. He's paid the price. And when you look at Him and say, Father, I sinned, I repent, I'm sorry, forgive me, that gavel hits and says, not guilty. I am for you, and nobody can be against you. We're going to win this thing. What does it say in Romans 8? We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And if God did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, He'll also with Jesus freely and graciously give us all things. Have no fear. Go out there and live. Get with it. Father, we love You. We thank You. And we ask Your blessings upon each and every one here. Your healing, Your strength, Your goodness, and the anointing of Your Holy Spirit and the covering of the blood of Jesus. And I pray for the courage and boldness and spirit of humility and knowledge and understanding of Your word, Your will, Your vision and faith, hope, love, wisdom and discerning spirit, and all spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, financial prosperity upon Your people. Blessings and blessings and blessings. And use us, Father, to bring honor and glory to Your name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Bless you for being here.